now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
Welcome to another edition of the E-Town Lowdown. We have a special guest in Pete Kruger, and he is the publisher of the Elmhurst Independent newspaper and several other newspapers that I'm sure he's going to tell us about before this interview is over. So welcome, Pete. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Robbie, why don't you kick off the interview?
Sure. So, Pete, tell us where you grew up. Where in town here in Elmhurst?
You know, I was fortunate to grow up in town on Prospect Street.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
Yeah. Where? Was it Prospect Street right down the road from Elmhurst College?
Very yeah. Nice.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
I did. Total of us, five of us. And
where do you fall in line?
I am the second youngest. Yeah.
Second youngest.
Yeah.
So brothers, sisters, which?
Yeah, one sister and one younger brother and two older brothers.
Wow. So family of five. That's a pretty big family compared to Robbie and I.
Made for a lot of fun.
Well, you had four. So
four kids.
You did have five all together.
What schools did you attend?
You know, I started off with the Elmhurst Public Schools. I had Hawthorne. I had Sandburg. Excellent experiences. And then when it came to high school, I had two older brothers that were growing up in Elmhurst in the late 60s. So they were a handful.
So I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
How about you, Robbie?
I am.
Yeah. So I can relate. My parents wanted to find a different home for me so that I would be on the straight and narrow.
So the other two brothers went on to York then?
Yep.
Okay.
And I ended up, first they wanted to send me to boarding school in Indiana. And
like Culver Military Academy or something?
Lalamere.
Wow.
Yeah. Where's that at?
You know, that's in Indiana, like central Indiana. And the thing was, I was guaranteed to be on the football team because it was a class of like 50 kids.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so was it really the older brothers that caused them to want to send you elsewhere, or was it you, Pete?
No, my understanding is it was the older brothers.
They were worn out? Yeah. Is that what happened?
The parents got worn out.
Did your sister go to York also?
I see.
Oh, okay. And then where did you end up going then?
You know, I thought I'd get shipped off to IC, but they shipped me off to Bennett. Yeah. Bennett Academy.
And that's where you graduated from?
It is. It was a good experience. I had, I got dropped off there the first day for football practice when I hadn't played a day of football in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you find that?
You know, at the time I weighed about 140 pounds, so it didn't work very well. Yeah.
Robbie,
your
left leg and my left leg weigh 140 pounds each.
Yeah, but back then, the 140 wasn't too bad, right, as a freshman?
You know, I got beat up pretty good.
Yeah. Where'd you play? What position?
You know, I was defensive end, but the football was only a two-year thing, and then I shifted over to track. Track was my sport.
What events in particular?
Pole vaulting.
Really?
Yeah.
Pole vaulting, that's not... How do you do that the first time?
You know what? Bennett was a small school, like 1,200 kids. So when you went out for pole vaulting, you were the third guy on a three-man team of pole vaulters.
But what gives you the guts to do that the first time? That's a long fall.
Well, it was more not the guts. It was if you were a pole vaulter, you didn't have to run around the track all day and practice.
Oh, so strategic move.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man. And how many years did it take you to graduate from Bennett?
You know, I did the four-year plan.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Five years is more common, though.
A lot of tutoring.
Oh, maybe that's college.
Yeah, a lot of tutoring, but I got through it.
Any other activities you were involved
with? Well, I want to go back to pole vaulting, if I could, real quick.
Oh, please do.
Yes. So I was a pole vaulting star because there were only three pole vaulters, and I could pole vault one foot higher than the guy that could high jump. So he was at 6 feet. I had the pole. I was at 7 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That poor guy, he cleared him by a foot with that pole.
You know, it was a new sport. Nobody really knew what they were doing, and I signed up at the right time.
And what were the poles made of back then?
You know, I'm thinking it was a fiberglass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think, aren't some of them graphite or something like that?
Yeah, maybe the new ones are. They bend like a...
Oh, yeah.
Like a horseshoe, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever have any serious injuries pole vaulting?
You know, my first track meet, we had a guy from IC, and I was right behind him. Most kids at these schools, you know, there were teams of pole vaulters of three people. So I remember the guy's name. I think it was Pistorius over at IC.
I know that name.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I'm sorry, PK's not here. He would know that name.
Yeah. So he's in front of me, and he takes off. He does his thing, and he totally misses the pit that you're supposed to land on.
Whoa.
And he's on the ground.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. So they took him away, and then I was the next guy up. So my knees were shaking so much.
I could just picture him, can't you, Robbie?
Yeah. So I could barely run. Yeah.
And you did it, though?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Came in last, but I did.
Hey, if you're not first, you're last anyway, so yeah. Right?
I tried to pole vault at Sandberg, I remember, and just wasn't any good at it. You have to have a strong upper body, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to be light.
Yeah, Robbie. That's the problem.
Might be a little problem. So any other activities at Bennett other than athletics? A little football and track?
You know, nothing we can talk about tonight.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair
Let's
enough.
Let's make a note of that for later.
Any favorite childhood pastimes here in Elmhurst?
Oh, childhood pastimes. You know, growing up on Prospect was an incredible place to live. I mean, we were close to Elmhurst College, close to the YMCA. I mean, I could stand in my front yard and hear the concerts playing at the YMCA when they had the outdoor concerts. And I remember hearing Johnny Winters singing, and you're like three blocks away. You'd walk down and watch the concerts. And that whole combination of being around Elmhurst College, we spent a lot of our time there.
So did you learn to ice skate or swim at the YMCA by chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I lost my front teeth there, so.
Doing what?
You know, hockey.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't very good at that either. but, you know, it was a great place.
Did you ever skate at Wilder Park, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when we were young, that was pretty popular.
You can still see the... what I like to call the grave where the hockey rink was, or the
right.
ice rink, I guess, at Wilder Park. Now it's a parking lot in front of a small building in the park.
Right. That was real popular when we were little.
Any special places in Elmhurst you like to go hang out that might not have been in the neighborhood growing up?
You know, we did spend a lot of time at the Y. We spent a lot of time at Elmhurst College. You know, we'd go to Sunday school because I was going to I was going to Hawthorne, but I would go to Sunday school every Sunday at IC, and occasionally we would skip Sunday school at IC and go over to Elmhurst College, and it was pretty convenient because you could get into the breakfast line at Elmhurst College, and nobody had a problem with it. You were like 8, 10 years old.
They didn't feed you at home?
Well, they did, but we were having a second breakfast. Yeah.
And as a kid, you can never have enough breakfast.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody's so, favorite meal.
We were able to do that for a couple of months before they figured out we weren't students.
That's funny.
What about the pools? Did you go to either one of the pools?
Yeah.
Like York Commons was pretty close back then?
York Commons, but I got to say more of the YMCA.
YMCA.
Yeah.
Did you get in any trouble growing up?
You know, I didn't. That was my older brother's.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep on this theme. We're going to keep at you, and we're going to try to break you down eventually.
Well, I won't forget.
So far, you're being consistent. So how would your classmates have described you in a yearbook caption?
Oh, boy.
Back at Bennett.
They would have described me as a hopeful football player. You know, they probably also would have said that I was a, in my own mind, I was a star pole vaulter.
In his own mind. So that might answer our next question.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
Myself?
Back then.
Yeah, back then.
Oh, back then.
Yeah.
If you were to write your own yearbook caption.
Yeah, my own yearbook caption. I was an average student. Could have been slipping into the below average student, but socially I had a fun time. Bennett was a great school. Yeah. They actually had a program where if you went out for sports and you weren't doing as well academically, they would have the cheerleaders tutor you so that you could get caught up and they get back out on the football field or whatever sport it was that you did.
Could you pick your own tutor?
You know, that was not part of the deal, but I remember my tutor.
What was her name?
Marianne Marchese.
From Elmhurst by chance?
No.
Okay.
No.
There was a Marchese family from Elmhurst.
Yeah.
Did you have any jobs growing up? Either
I
in
did.
High school?
All my jobs consisted around the newspaper business.
Okay.
Yeah. Started as a paper boy, of course, and then I moved into various jobs. You know, the fun part about it, having a family business, is you got to do a little bit of everything.
Did they treat you like everybody else? Or did some of them give you preferential treatment?
You know, my father treated us like everybody else. Yeah. He was good about that. I actually, one of my jobs was melting lead type so that back in the early middle 60s, I would say, lead type was the way to put together a printed page. And I think that got phased out in the late 60s. So I would do that. That was part of my job back in the old days when they would still run the linotype machines.
Things have changed a little, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's close out this segment with one more question. What's your favorite vacation spot from when you were a kid?
Yeah, that's an easy one. My family, my mother actually would go up to a place called Whitefish Bay in Wisconsin, about a 4.5-hour drive. And there was an Elmhurst family that they ended up going there every single summer and stayed the whole summer. They actually lived in the block close by us. And my mother, as a child, got to go there, and the rest of the family followed. So my relatives followed. I've got a lot of relatives that end up going to the same spot up in Wisconsin. So I can go to Wisconsin on a strange weekend like last weekend, and my relatives will be there.
So that's kept with you your whole life. You went there as a child, and you still enjoy it as an adult.
Yeah, and the whole family. I mean, 4th of July, we'll have a fire on the beach, and there'll be anywhere from 50 of my relatives. So it's
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat. Let's take a quick break here on the Lowdown, and we'll be right back.
Hey, hey. This is Southside Maryland Manrow. That's M-A-N-R-O-W. Gentlemen prefer blondes, but I prefer Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst E-Town Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
Back here on the Lowdown with our special guest, Pete Kruger, the publisher of the Elmhurst Independent. And Robbie, why don't you kick off this next segment?
All right, Pete, tell us a little bit about the history of press publications, when it was founded.
Sure. Sure. It goes back quite a ways. Actually, the first newspaper in Elmhurst was a short period of time, but it was actually someone from the Paddock family. They were living in Wheaton, is my understanding. And they put out a newspaper for Elmhurst for a short time. And then there was a series of people that put out the paper. Then it started formatting to the Elmhurst News was the name. And then along came Albin Bates. So Albin Bates being part of the same family member of the founder of Elmhurst, which I believe is Jerry Bates. My history is I got to check up on myself every once in a while, but Albin Bates in 1908, he bought the newspaper, Elmhurst News, and he ended up wanting to have this business to help him get through law school. He ended up marrying Mrs. Gloss, another famous name in our town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Between law school and his new life with Mrs. Gloss, I understand that he sold the paper, and there were about two or three different owners from there. And then my great-grandfather and my grandfather, they were actually up in Watertown, Wisconsin. And they had a daily newspaper.
Is that near Milwaukee?
You know what? It's north of Madison.
Okay.
So
I wasn't even close.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive. I've driven up there. It's a beautiful town. They woke up in the middle of the night one night, and their newspaper office was on fire, and it burnt right down to the ground. So they packed up, and they moved back this way because they heard there was a newspaper for sale. And in 1922, they bought the Elmhurst Press. So my family has actually worked for, including my children, five generations have worked in the newspaper business in Elmhurst.
Where was it located in 1922?
You know, in 1922, they moved the paper when they bought it into a building which is right across the street from Fifth Third Bank. It's where Pints is.
Okay.
That building, before they bought it, was a movie theater. And they moved in there and expanded and eventually had all the way to the block to the back and about three-quarters of the entire block. Printing presses in there and everything.
Oh, so those buildings still exist, like the building the movie theater was in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were that old.
Right. No, I go into Pints, and I'll be sitting at the bar having a beer, and like 15 feet from where I'm sitting was my office when I worked there.
Wow.
Behind the bar. And actually across the room is where my great-grandfather sat.
So what's a progression? What was the name of your great-grandfather and your grandfather?
Yeah, John father. Wesley Kruger. Great-grandfather Harold Kruger, grandfather, father Melvin J. Kruger. Then from there, all five of my siblings, we worked at the newspaper together. So our family with that publication, we went from 1922 to 1998. So just one generation after the other.
How many employees did you have in 1922?
You know, when they bought it in 1922, I think it was like a four-page newspaper. So it was probably my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and maybe two other people. That's a wild guess, but you did everything.
At what point in time did you become a full-time employee of Press Publications?
You know, I graduated from Loras College, and
it's in Iowa, right?
Yeah, Dubuque, Iowa. Beautiful Dubuque, Iowa.
Dubuque.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. You know, I started looking for jobs.
What was your degree in?
I had a degree in finance.
Okay.
Yeah. I got asked to come over to the press to help out with a few things. You know, I think that after that day, I think I was there for 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you manage the books while you were there?
No, I was still on the business side. I was in charge of delivery, was an ad rep, and you know that I got in charge of advertising, overseeing that.
I worked for you, Pete.
Yeah.
I was a delivery boy.
No kidding.
Yep.
What year was that?
probably 1972.
So I probably did that, same thing you were doing. You could have had my territory.
Right.
Yeah.
Around Prospect, all around the college.
You know, I was a little bit east of you there, but the best ever job I ever had in the newspaper business was carrier boy.
It paid well. It really did.
It's the tips.
Yeah.
How was it working with family? Is it tough sometimes?
You know, we get along pretty well. Nothing, you know, confrontational. And, you know, we had different parts of the business. People were in, it's like running your own little business, different segments of the business. So it worked out pretty well.
At the zenith of press publications, you know, how large was it? What kind of distribution did you have? What towns did you touch?
Yeah, we ended up, let's see, my great-grandfather and my grandfather, they had like three newspapers. My father and my grandfather got it up to seven newspapers. And then by the time my siblings and I had grown it, it was 32 different weekly newspapers in DuPage and Cook County.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so it was keeping us busy.
And I assume there's some commonalities among the stories in those newspapers. So not every newspaper is 100% unique, but somewhat unique?
That's right. You know, most of the commonality would be like classified advertising and other advertising, and the news was about 50% unique.
Yeah. What about competition, Pete? Who were your major competitors?
Well, you know, we ended up with about five or six different families in DuPage County, and they all had their own territory, and we were next to each other, and they'd publish a group of newspapers in maybe three towns. You'd cover the five towns over here, and we ended up doing business together really well. We actually met together once a month. This was the Glen Ellen News. This was the Downers Grove Reporter, West Chicago Press, and we had agreements where we'd sell ads back and forth into each other's papers. It was working out great.
Were there any economies of scale as you bring six papers together or six different families of papers together?
There were. And that's when in the late 90s, a company out of California decided that if they went around and acquired all these family publications, they'd put them together and there'd be all kinds of benefits to that.
What was special in particular about press publications in your mind?
You know, Elmhurst was our lead town. I mean, it started in Elmhurst and it grew from Elmhurst. The business community was so good through the years that that made our business very successful. Gave us the ability to expand.
What was the population back in 1922? Do you remember?
He wasn't alive, but
you know what? I do. I do.
Historically, he might know. I bet he does.
I believe that there was one gentleman that said that he had looked at, he was publishing the paper for so many years, and in a period of 3 years, it had tripled in population. And I cannot recall what years those were, and I could be off base with it. But Elmhurst was to be the large town just because of its commuting aspects to Chicago.
From your press publications days, did you have any favorite columns or columnists that you really miss?
Jack Zimmerman. Jack Zimmerman was a really popular writer. And I remember when Jack Zimmerman put together a column inviting anybody that wanted to come with him to go for a run. He had a truck that showed up at Edelman's Bakery early in the morning. So Jack and anybody that showed up would get complimentary bakery from Edelman's, and they would run. I had no idea.
I have personal knowledge of this.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't, but my father was, and I don't think that many people ran.
They were in the back of the truck.
I think there were a lot of walkers and riders.
Yeah.
Do you remember where they went after Entenmann's?
You know, I'm thinking they were going down North Avenue.
No, actually, at least one year, they walked up, I guess it's County Line Road, up to Bader Brow Brewing.
That's right.
You remember that?
That's right. That was part of the story. And
Jack was an interesting guy, wasn't he?
He was. He ended up going to, he wrote for us for a lot of years. He's very popular. But he ended up going to Ravinia. He was a marketing person up at Ravinia.
Wow.
For a lot of years.
Didn't know that. So did you ever have multiple locations where you had offices for the press?
Yeah. We had offices in Bloomingdale, Elmhurst, and Westchester.
I remember, I believe his name was Cooper Rollo, lived here in Elmhurst. Did you ever have any interaction with him?
Chicago Tribune sports writer, wasn't he?
Was that him? Okay, he lived on Elm Street when we lived on Elm Street.
That name sounds familiar, but I'm drawing a blank on that one. The one that comes to mind is Ned Coletti. And Ned Coletti was a sports writer and ended up working for the, I'm going to say, the Chicago Cubs.
So when was a sale of press publications first seriously contemplated and why?
You know, it was 1998. And a company from California ended up buying a newspaper out in California. And they were able to take a struggling newspaper and turn it around and had some success with it. So they figured that this can be done everywhere. So they started going out all over the place, and they were going to create a public company. And they acquired the weekly newspapers in suburban Chicago from those five different families that I mentioned previously. All of them. Put them all under one management, and they were going to take it public, and they never took it public.
What was the name of that outfit?
That was Liberty Publishing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who made the final decision? Was that a family decision or was there a patriarch? Okay.
Yeah, all family.
Okay. And did you did the folks in your family have non-compete clauses when that sold?
You know, two of us did. My older brother Jack and I did as well.
Okay. And was that tough for you?
You know, it was for a few years, but we were able to go and find some regular work outside of DuPage County. So we ended up...
Is that where you were restricted?
Yeah, just in DuPage County restricted. So we ended up out in Rockford. So there was a group of newspapers surrounding Rockford, and we acquired those in about 10 months after we got out of the old business, and then started expanding that from there.
Okay. We look forward to hearing more about what you did next.
Yep.
Right after this quick break.
Hi, this is Pamela Dunley. As president and CEO of Elmhurst Hospital, I know that sometimes laughter can be the best medicine. When I need a good laugh, I tune into the E-Town Lowdown, and you should too. Give it a try.
And now we have another edition of Yodeling Robbie on the Street with a special guest, Robbie's cousin, Seamus.
To be fair, I tried to observe both sexes in different settings. This report is by no means scientific, which of course would be a wee bit out of my wheelhouse. While in a very busy pub, Finnegan's Irish Pints, on the cliffs of York Road, I noticed a few lads signing their checks after guzzling their pints. As I observed their signatures, I detected them looking much like chicken scratch. Being the unbiased social scientist that I am, I was compelled to seek input on what a lass's signature would look like in this pub setting. What I saw was loops, hearts, eyes dotted with circles and hearts, and ridiculously large loops in their P's and G's. After observing this small sample of lasses, I was reminded of an old girlfriend named Yowling Rabona. recalling the note that she wrote me when breaking up. It said, "See you later, me boyo," and it had a smiley face at the end of it. Ouch. Resetting focus on the patrons and having to relieve myself, I ventured into the bathrooms. I entered what I thought was the lads' room. I didn't think twice that there were only stalls, so I stepped inside one and closed the door. Then I heard lasses' voices. Then it hit me like a ton of hops that it was not a lad in a cape on the door. It was a lass in a dress. I thought to myself, I need to stay in the stall until the bathroom is empty. However, as a respected social scientist, I could use this as an opportunity to further what I now call research. I was in there for 20 minutes and concluded two things. Lasses use restrooms as social lounges, and two, they talk mostly about husbands and sex. They bash the husbands, who apparently can't do anything right. And sex, not in abstract terms. It's graphic and technical. I wondered, is there a correlation between doing things right and sex? I finally was able to sneak out without being noticed, other than the waitress coming out of the kitchen. Having acquired this valuable data on lasses in the social setting, I further concluded that men use restrooms for purely biological reasons. Further, men in a restroom will rarely speak a word to each other. Finally, I firmly believe never in my life will I get up from a pub table and say to my pals, "Hey Rick and PK, I was just about to take a leak. Do you want to join me?" My mind still on the breakup with my beloved Rabona, it was almost time for me to head back to the Brefni over by the high school, but I wanted to note some linguistic lessons I've gleaned from previous experiments with our beloved lasses to complement this edition. When a lass says
yes,
she really means
maybe.
However, when she says
maybe,
she really means
no.
When she says
do what you want to do,
she really means
you're gonna regret this.
When she says,
"Do you really love me?"
she means,
"I'm gonna tell you something you're not gonna like."
When she says,
"You have to learn to communicate better,"
she really means,
"Shut up and listen."
Finally, when she says,
"I don't yell,"
she really means,
"Yes, of course I yell. Otherwise, you don't listen."
Can any of my Celtic brethren relate? Slán.
And we're back on the lowdown with our special guest, Pete Kruger. And now it's time for Pete to take on the E-Town Lowdown Mowdown, where we try to mow down our special guests to their very core. Robbie, go ahead.
Cronkite or rather?
Cronkite.
Sun-Times or Tribune?
Ooh, I got to say Tribune.
Book or movie?
Book.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Boxers or briefs?
Oh. Is there a third choice?
None. Commando.
Beatles or Stones? We're skipping right over that. Did you like
Stones?
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Blonde or brunette?
Ooh, boy.
Careful.
Yeah. I got to go blonde.
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Have you ever had a perm?
Are we talking about a general area of
your head?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could call it a body wave if you want.
Okay.
I think we better move on, Robbie.
Perm on my head. I'm going to go with no.
Cubs or Sox?
Cubs.
Appetizers or hors d'oeuvres?
Appetizers.
Wisconsin or Michigan?
Wisconsin.
Favorite color?
I'm going to go with blue. Betty or Wilma?
Ah, Wilma's nice.
Red or black licorice?
Red.
Mountains or ocean?
Ocean.
Your first record album?
Leonard Skinnerd.
Pronounced?
Leonard Skinnerd.
Thank you.
Cubs or Sox?
I'm going to go with Cubs.
Bono or Bono?
Bono.
Wrong answer.
When Harry Met Sally or Dirty Harry?
Dirty Harry.
Tall socks or short socks?
Well, if you make a statement, I'm going with short socks.
Pay-per-view or movie theater?
Movie theater.
Elevator or stairs?
Stairs.
And the last Mowdown question, Robbie?
Tile or hardwood?
Hardwood.
That's great. We'll be right back on the Lowdown.
For interesting interviews and intelligent banter, listen to Bobby and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. Are we clear? I can't believe these guys asked me to do this. I'm sorry. Yeah, is there any other promos you'd like me to read? Probably not good enough.
No, that's okay.
What did I...
And we're back on the Lowdown with our special guest, Pete Kruger, the publisher of the Elmhurst Independent. Pete, when we left off the last segment, you told us about starting a venture in the Rockford area because you had a no-compete clause here in DuPage County. So why don't you tell us a little bit about more about that and what you started in Rockford and where that is now?
Sure. Working in the newspaper business for my entire life, I looked out to areas where we could get back into it. And there was four small weekly newspapers that surrounded Rockford. And we had known the company, my brother and I, and we had actually done business with them in the past. And they were looking to sell the place. And I think in about 1999, we made them an offer and bought the business. And next thing I know, I was driving to Rockford every single week.
So you didn't move out there?
No, I drove back and forth every day.
So what's a short trip there, and what's a long trip if the traffic's bad?
You know, a short trip is round trip of about 3 hours. And the short trip is driving out there for about an hour and a half and staying at the Red Roof Inn.
You know what would have made those trips go quicker? Listening to the E-Town Lowdown podcast.
That would have done it. You know what? Because you sit in the car for 3 hours, you got to learn something.
Did you listen to books on tape or anything like that?
I dabbled with trying to learn a little bit of Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you say something in Spanish now?
Si?
Oh, very good.
Si what?
That's all I got.
Pequeño? So, when did you first decide to start The Independent as we know it today?
You know, the newspaper currently in Elmhurst, we ended up thinking about it because it was unproductive to drive to Rockford every single day and spend 3 hours in the car. So I met with Debbie Hamilton, who's been a career newspaper person. And
had she worked at the press?
She did. Yeah, I actually worked with her at the press, you know, like 15 years prior or 12 years prior, and knew her pretty well. And we went out, had lunch, and talked to some merchants, and they decided that if you had a newspaper that was Elmhurst front to back, you know, they would like it. They would use it.
Was there, wasn't there another Elmhurst-only newspaper that didn't make it in between you leaving the press and starting
the crowded, yeah, it was a crowded field. We had, besides the Elmhurst Press, there was the Elmhurst Doings, and those two were the weekly newspapers, and then the Tribune had their only, they had a weekly section for Elmhurst. You know, the other daily papers.
Wasn't there a gentleman that started an independent, small independent in Elmhurst, though, for a while, and it really didn't take off?
You know, there was the Elmhurst Banner.
That's it. I couldn't think of the name of it.
That went back probably 1995, maybe.
Oh, so that was competing up against you at the press.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And he did that for a couple of years, and then he moved on.
So when it started, was it just one paper, the Elmhurst Independent, or were there multiple?
No, just the Elmhurst Independent, Elmhurst News front to back, and I had some really good people. I had Debbie Hamilton. I had Gloria Casada.
Sure.
And Dee Longfellow. So the four of us, and I actually had Lynn Hill, who worked for me in the past as well. All of us.
Great people.
Yeah. All of us got together and, you know, knowing all of them and what our relationship was in the past made it pretty easy. Mm. So we started up and it worked very well.
What made you choose Elmhurst to come back to?
You know, I was living in Elmhurst and I could crawl out of bed at 8:30 in the morning, get in my car and be at work at 9.
It's a nice commute.
It was a good commute.
So how long before you started to expand to other communities with the Independent?
You know, we did Elmhurst for about 3-4 years, and then we went into Villa Park, Addison, Bensonville. And then just recently, in the last couple of years, good friends of ours over in Lombard, the Lombardian, the McKay family, they had the Lombardian newspaper for 65 years, I think it was.
Wow.
Maybe a little less than that. But they were the second generation to own the paper, and they were ready to retire. And we were good friends, so we sat down and talked, and we ended up purchasing the paper.
And did you still have your interest in the paper in Rockford during this time? And you still do today, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how much time do you spend out there, or is there other folks that manage that for you, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's other people out there that are a lot smarter than me, so I just let them do their thing, and I stay out in Elmhurst.
Yeah. Did you make any mistakes along the way starting the Independent, things you would do differently if you were, and I don't mean that you would do differently today, but that you would have done differently starting it up?
That's a good question. Nothing comes to mind right now.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You got some good people and a great...
You got five people that have done it before, and, you know, they had all the input, and I kind of listened to them and let them determine what would be the best way to do it.
And it really, you know, Robbie and I are obviously pro-Elmhurst people. That's why we do this podcast about Elmhurst, and your publication really does feel like the heart of Elmhurst. It, you know, anybody who's in Elmhurst, they read the Independent. They have to. It's the Elmhurst paper.
I appreciate that.
So I've also heard of another successful paper called The Herald. Mm-hmm. Is that, what kind of competition does that give you, or does it not at all?
The Daily Herald?
Yeah.
Daily Herald is a really strong family business that, you know, originated out of Arlington Heights. And that was the original paper with the Paddock family, as you know. And that Paddock family was the same family that back in the late 1800s had a weekly newspaper in Elmhurst for a short time. So they've been in the newspaper business in the Chicago suburban area for a long time. And now they concentrate on the area where they originated from, which is Arlington Heights and the northern, northwest suburbs. And then they go down into Naperville. They kind of went into areas where there was a lot of growth still. Mm. And they could get new subscribers as the towns were growing. You know, they have an emphasis in Elmhurst, but I think the northwest suburbs is their stronghold.
And they have a bit of national news too, right? So they
do.
They try to... Not just compete with the local papers, but with regionals.
They do. So the daily paper is it's a really good product.
How has electronic news affected the way that you do business at the Independent?
Oh, I think that... you mean online?
Online, basically. Online internet news.
Yeah, you know, it's changing the way that you get your news out there. I mean, Elmhurst, when we started it, that was a new project that we knew that we needed to do more than print. So we put the paper out there as a free paper. Anybody could get it delivered for free at their home. Advertisers picked up the cost of that. And then we also provided online for free, totally free. So anybody that's the person that doesn't go to the store or their mailbox and sit there and read a print paper, they can sit down at their cell phone, their iPad, their laptop, or their desktop, and they can pull up and read that newspaper every week from top to bottom. So I think that's kind of the way that weekly newspapers are headed. So there'll be a lot more free distribution.
So I'm curious, forgive my ignorance here, but the revenue that you get, it's from advertisers primarily, or do you get you sell your paper to folks to deliver it? Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, we're 100% for this particular newspaper, the Elmhurst Independent. The revenue is 100% advertising. And that is what we generate to cover the cost of distribution and everything else.
Where do you print your paper at?
You know, we've got, our company is actually a combination of three smaller companies. One is a newspaper company in Wisconsin that I own with two brothers. Another one is a company in Illinois, which I own with one other brother. And then we have a third company, which is the printing plant that's right located in between the two footprints of our newspapers. So we have Wisconsin newspapers, Illinois newspapers, and then we have Delavan, Wisconsin, which is the printing plant. So we have a printing plant that fills up an entire building in Delavan in the industrial park, and we print our 35 newspapers there.
That's got to be quite an operation if you're printing 35 papers.
It is. We print some other newspapers there as well, but it's kind of an even split. I think there's 17 newspapers in Illinois and 18 newspapers in Wisconsin. And my one brother, who I've worked with, we've been together since we started working as kids, he manages the Wisconsin. I manage the Illinois.
Which brother is it? You can name him.
I don't know if I want to name names.
Okay, you don't have to.
No, it's Jack. So Jack, he does the Wisconsin. And I have another brother, Hank. He's involved in an ownership aspect. And then in Illinois, I manage that. But we all have the same printing press that we rely on in Delavan, Wisconsin.
Fond memories of Lake Delavan. Went there when I was a kid.
Me yeah. too.
The assembly. Assembly yeah. grounds, do you remember that?
No.
You were rich. You probably stayed in the big cottage.
No, we were sleeping on the floor of our friend's cottage with the spiders and cats and all that. So how many employees are at the printing plant up there, would you guess? The
printing plant is probably about 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I assume that process has changed a lot over the years of actually printing, or is it still pretty similar?
The process before you print has changed a lot. So that process before, the pre-press process, different computers, different software, different everything, different plating. But the old end of it, it's that same old printing press that's been around forever.
Really?
Do you have any of the old equipment that you save just for to look at? It's really old.
You know, when I was in my early 20s, my brother and I moved linotype machines. The old lead machines that would fill up block type. And my brother and I loaded them up with a forklift truck, put them on a truck, and they went right out for scrap metal. And I thought to myself, I shouldn't have done that, you know, like 15 years later, because I don't know what they're worth now.
So at the Independent, how many employees do you have there?
At the Independent, probably about 12.
Okay. And what's next for the Independent? Anything on the horizon? Any changes planned or just going forward pretty much status quo for now?
Status quo. Just keep doing what we're doing.
And what keeps you up at night? What do you worry about as it relates to your business?
Well, the only thing that worries me is trying to get vacation time in.
I don't know. I think he gets plenty of vacation. Yeah, I'm sure your employees will have something to say about that.
You look like you're tan. I wonder why that is.
Well, speaking of him needing a break, let's take another quick break here on the Lowdown. We'll be right back.
The E-Town Lowdown encourages you to like Explore Elmhurst on Facebook, a great resource so you too can be in the know when it comes to Elmhurst. Elmhurst, close to everything, unlike anything.
This is Bob Robertson, Sr. When I have insomnia, I listen to Robbie and Rick on the E-Town Lowdown. Why don't you?
And we're back on the Lowdown with our special guest, Pete Krueger, the publisher of the Elmhurst Independent. I want to ask you a few questions about the world today. And first of all, let's start off with, what is your take on fake news? What does that mean to you?
Fake news is looking for stories in an area of the internet that you probably shouldn't be at. I may be a little off base there, but I kind of focus and stay with a couple of different, for my national news, a couple of different sites. I don't vary too much. You know, I read the Tribune, and that seems to give me everything that I think is going to give me an accurate picture.
What about watching on television? Do you watch any news on television, and what programs?
You know, I can't do too much of the commentary on television, so I kind of wait till I can get to that 9 o'clock general broadcast for news, Channel 5, Channel 7. And I do a lot of CLTV news, because I'm figuring that CLTV news is giving me a little bit of my demographic in Chicago area, and it's, you know, it's pretty spot on.
What do you think the future of printed news is?
Well, I think as things drift over to the digital side, I think the people that are providing good content, I think they'll still be the winners in this, and it'll just slowly drift from one medium, print, to digital. You know, it's pretty convenient right now to get it both ways. I think the people that do a good job of it now will be the same people that'll do a good job of it 10 years from now.
Yeah, there's a certain part of the population that will always want it printed. I'm pretty confident about that.
Right.
You agree? Okay.
I think so.
Any competitors that you want to speak of right now?
Ones you admire or that are tough competitors?
Well, right now, my biggest competitor is the former Elmhurst Press, which is the Elmhurst Suburban Life. They are a family business, and they do a real good job.
How about news, and I say news with air quotes, via social media? Is it really news?
You know, social media?
Facebook, Twitter.
You know, I should be up with the times and spend a lot of time reading that news on Facebook and Twitter, but I got to be really honest, I don't spend a lot of time doing it.
Do you subscribe to any of your competitors' publications? You don't need to name them, but do
you? Oh, sure. You know, a little bit. I mean, we've got some of the same customers with the Tribune, and I read the Tribune for my national news. And then my other competitor in town, Shaw Media, I pick it up and read it at the library just to know what they're doing.
What about podcasts? Is this new to you, or do you subscribe to any?
You know, podcast is totally new to me. This is a new venture, and I'm looking forward to hearing more.
Well, we're big fans. Recently, frankly, we've become big fans. And the great thing about a podcast is you can listen where you want, when you want, you know, when it makes sense for you. And you can listen to what you want, too.
What about any mentors? Have you had a mentor that you want to tell us about?
I have such a large family that I have a lot of brothers and one sister. and we've all worked together. And I kind of listen to them. Two older brothers that have given me some advice. You know, running a family business with a lot of siblings, it's a big help. And I think that's been part of our success.
How well did you know your grandfather that was in the business? Or great-grandfather, for that matter?
You know, grandfather I knew a little bit. You know, I've got the father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. All three of them weren't around very long. I think all three of them made it to 62.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. So.
And how were they different than you and your brothers? Were they? Did they run things differently and things changed when you and your brothers took over?
Yeah, they're probably the same. It just was a different time. Mm-hmm. It was harder for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world at 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
And we're back on the Lowdown with our last segment with Pete Kruger, the publisher of the Elmhurst Independent. And Pete, we call this our gear switch, where we switch gears completely and we get to know you a little bit better. So, off the wall question for you. Are you familiar with the Revolution Cable Park in Fort Myers, Florida?
Where are you getting your questions from?
I don't know. Just wonder if you're familiar with that.
That took me totally by surprise.
We have pictures of you.
Cut it out.
We do.
You guys.
Are you familiar with that, Pete?
I am. You guys do your research.
We do. So tell us a little bit about the Revolution.
Before we go there, is that not you in that picture?
That's we actually found the Go-Go's Vacation album where they were water skiing.
Really?
And we zoomed in on that picture and we found that it appears to be you water skiing with the Go-Go's.
Right, but I don't look that good.
Do you get royalties from that?
You know, I have no idea how you guys got down this road. You must do your research.
We do our research. So tell us a little bit about water skiing down in Fort Myers.
It's other
places for that.
It is an unknown sport. It's an unknown sport where you water ski without a boat.
How do you do that?
You know, they've got this lake where you've got metal towers at all ends of the lake. And there's a steel cable that goes all the way around from each tower. And most of the people that do this are 18 years old.
What are you, 19 or 20?
I'm the token old guy.
Okay.
So they sit there and they hand you a rope. And when your rope comes around and connects to the cable, you go right off the dock and you water ski without a boat.
It's amazing.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Any alligators or anything like that?
I watch out for those. They say no, but I watch out for them.
How do you get picked up when you fall? You probably don't fall, though, right?
Well, I fall all the time, but you swim to the shore and you walk back. Yeah.
How deep is the water?
Like 10 feet. Yeah.
So what tricks are you known for? Water ski tricks, this is.
Well, I've tried the ramp that you go off of, and you're like 6 feet in the air.
How does that work for you?
It's fun when you're up in the air. When you land, it kind of hurts a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. But
did you try landing on your skis?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
And it still hurts?
Yeah, I got a little back pain now and then, but really? It works. But, yeah, this is a big thing down in Florida. There's nowhere in Illinois except for the new one they built in Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake built in their forest preserve a brand new cable water skiing park. Yeah.
What county is that?
Is that McHenry County, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, just 2 years. And I've gone out there with my son three times. It's a sport that not many people do.
When did you first start water skiing?
going up in Wisconsin. You know, I was probably about 5 years old, 7 years old.
Like out in Green Bay or Lake Michigan?
Lake Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my personal sport that keeps me from getting old.
And do you still water ski up there?
Oh, yeah.
And where else do you ski? Anywhere else?
No, just up there. And up there, I've got a good record so far. I've taken both of my brothers to the hospital from skiing accidents, my younger brother and my older brother, and I'm accident-free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and, boy. You just jinxed yourself.
Could be.
And I assume you have a bucket list is to be a part of the Tommy Bartlett Show still on there? Or?
Boy, my age, I might have passed that up. But
there's a senior tour. There really is.
I could be on the senior team.
So we should have asked you this in the Mowdown, but who's a better water skier, you or Mickey Meisinga?
He claims he can do everything I can do, but I have not. I have not seen him in action.
Is anybody actually ever going to witness the two of you skiing together?
I'm going to challenge him after tonight.
Do you slalom?
Yeah.
Do you barefoot?
I tried it once. Yeah, I got all bruised up.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty.
That's what happens.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your family, your children, ages, family, and what they're up to.
Yeah, I've got two kids. I got a son in Chicago. He's 33 years old. And he's in the finance world, working for in IT at Citadel.
Okay.
He was at the New York Stock Exchange for a while and moved over to Citadel, and he likes what he's doing. He's a city kid, married, and my daughter is 30. I hope I get this right.
Be careful with 30. Daughters and ages.
Yeah, yeah.
She's, we got it.
She's 30-something.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah, and she helped me start the newspaper along with my son, Matt. And
what's your daughter's name?
Kathleen. So Kathleen was a 6-year Spanish teacher in the District 205 schools. And she decided she wanted to do something new after 6 years as a teacher. So she packed up her truck, and my son and I drove her out to L.A. So there's an entire Elmhurst group that lives on the west side of L.A., and she's one of them. Took me 8 days to drive her out there. We had a blast.
What's she doing out there?
She's got 4 different jobs. She works for The Independent doing the website. She manages the website, and she plays in a rock band. And she...
What does she play? What instrument? Or
she's a keyboard player.
Okay.
Backup singer. And that is her passion.
You got a chance to plug the band. Do you know the name of the band?
Oh, sure. Springtime Carnivore. They're in Chicago. They're tour all over the place.
Springtime Carnivore.
What type of music do they play?
You know, it's rock music. They play their own indie music. They tour all over. So they're in downtown.
What town does she live in out there?
They are in West L.A.
So it's actually, is that a separate city from L.A.? West
no.
LA?
Okay. No, it's L.A. But see, the girl that she lives with was from Oak Brook, and it's her band. She went to Bennett, and she missed graduation because she was already on tour with her band in Europe.
So do you think either of your kids will end up working full-time at the Independent someday? Or do you hope they will, or just...
I let them do their thing. I've asked them to if they've got an interest, but they're pretty wrapped up in what they're doing.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And I'm kind of jealous.
Do you have any favorite Elmhurst haunts currently, places you like to hang out, or, you know, whether it be a restaurant or a pub or whatever?
Sure. Riley's is walking distance from my house.
Perfect.
Yeah.
A great place.
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve Riley.
He's a good guy.
So describe what Elmhurst means to you.
It's family. It's history. I mean, this is off the track here, but the people that want to actually move to Elmhurst, it hit me when I had my office on West Avenue and I tried to rent the lower space that was empty to an office. And I had a sign in the front yard. I got very few calls about people that wanted to rent it as an office. I got people that wanted to rent this 700-square-foot office for an apartment because they could get a lease and they could send their kids
to York High School, Hawthorne, or whatever school that was. I've gotten more calls like that than I expected. It's a big draw, you know, to move there and send your kids to school there.
It's a great town, isn't it?
It is.
Do you have any favorite recent Elmhurst stories that have appeared in your paper? Anything you really enjoyed, got a chuckle out of, etc.? Putting you on the spot here.
So. Yeah, that's a tough one to remember. There's so many of them.
Any from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, stories that really stand out? Any folks that have passed that you've written about?
Well, I'll tell you a group of stories. So York High School, they have the alumni achievement group. So they'll nominate like 7 people that have graduated from York, and then they'll list what they've all done. And it's interesting because I'll sit in the office with D. Longfellow, the editor, and the two of us will read what these people have done. And these 7 people have, like, saved the world. Mm-hmm. They've done so much good stuff. And D. and I look at each other and we're like, hey, we better get going. We haven't done anything.
So when you read those stories, it humbles you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Speaking of being humbled, I remember how humble you seemed when you were inducted into the Elmhurst Chamber of Commerce and Industry Civic Hall of Fame, and you seemed a little surprised, but I don't think our community was surprised at all.
Yeah, I like to keep behind the scenes, but it was a great honor.
Well, I think I know that you like to stay behind the scenes. I mean, that's always been your MO, but I think the community will appreciate getting to know you a little better through our podcast here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
And we really appreciated this tonight. So thanks for being here. I hope you'll be our guest again at some point in time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pete. You bet.
And I hope you'll download this podcast and listen to it. Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
All righty.